need of their services, or before you find yourself in need of their services, hunt down a pen, find a piece of paper, write down their phone number, 321-632-9538. So if something happens to your air conditioner, something happens with your heater, you know, this is the, kind of that small window of the year where you could actually need a heater in Florida. And so if yours isn't working, you can give them a call. Or if you've got an electrical issue, you can reach Weyrich Air, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Like I did on yesterday's program, I just want to say thank you for being part of our spiritual family. Many of you we've never met, we'll never meet, but we have heard from many of you through the years. We're now in our ninth year of doing the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE, and we consider you part of our church family. With that being said, I will just tell you that your prayers would be appreciated as we walk through a little bit of a difficult season. And by a little bit, I mean a whole bunch of a difficult season with some medical challenges that are impacting parts of our family. And so if you would say a prayer and ask God to work a miracle, that would be phenomenally appreciated. And, you know, so if you try and get a hold of us, you probably are going to find us out of commission. And we'll keep you posted. We're not going to talk about it every day or anything like that, but we'll share updates with you a little bit closer to Christmas or New Year's once we begin to see how all of that is taking place. So today we are going to talk about the generational aspect of truth one more time. That's what we'll move on to, a different aspect of seeking truth here in the coming week. But there are three passages that I want to read for you. The first passage is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And then I'm going to read Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then I'm going to read the Gospel of 3 John, the letter of 3 John, I should say. 3 John, chapter 1, because there's only one, and verses 2 through 4. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 read like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So today, the concept that we are going to focus on is children of truth. What is that generational aspect of truth in your life? How does that look with people of the next generation? So the first two passages, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and Titus chapter 1, are both part of the pastoral epistles that Paul writes to people who were not his biological children, but they were his spiritual children. You know, I've been blessed with a fine family when I was growing up, but my spiritual family didn't come into existence until I was probably 5 or 6 years old, was when I was introduced to a man that would change my life because of his love for Jesus and his love for people, his love for the Word of God, his love to see people transformed by the grace of God. His name was Jack. He was my pastor. I never called him Jack. I always called him Pastor Ellsworth or Brother Ellsworth. But he made a huge impact on my life. He would be what I would consider my spiritual father. I don't know if he was the one that was there and prayed the sinner's prayer with me or not. I gave my heart to Jesus at a very young age. I could have given my heart to Jesus in children's church or Sunday school, either one of those things. But both of, you know, the people who were serving in children's church were there because of my pastor. And they had done children's ministry. They didn't want to do children's ministry anymore, but they came back because Pastor Ellsworth said, look, we've got kids and we need someone to teach them the Word of God. My pastor, I very rarely got to fellowship with him. I very rarely, although it did happen on occasion where he came over to our house and my parents tell stories of him coming over and playing games with the family and just building relationship. But it wasn't really until much later in my life, like my late teenage years, my early college years, where that relationship with him became more of, rather than just a pastor of the church that I was attending, he became my personal pastor that I served with and under. So he went to bat for me and had me get the opportunity to do my internship underneath him. And so he taught me valuable, valuable things. You know, some of them biblical. I did a wedding that literally terrified me, but, you know, he's like, you can do this. We would make hospital calls. We often made trips, but one of the things that he impacted me with was knowing to always keep your car fueled, because you never know when you are going to get a call, an emergency, and you're going to have to respond. He taught me a lot about ministry. He was my Paul. I was his Timothy. And you see, it is not just about a personal relationship. That is not what has taken place. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, according to the elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, with which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Okay, so truth, spiritual truth, eternal truth, absolute truth, listen, is going to cause people to acknowledge that truth, and that truth is going to align with godliness. So I had a person that I was having a discussion with one time, and they said, "Hey, we love each other." I said, "No, you don't." You say, how could you say that? Because the love that they were describing did not line up with the godliness that was lined up in the Word of God. So any truth which does not align with the Word of God and cause you to live a more godly life is not God's truth. It's not spiritual truth. And so, you know, if you look at the Word of God and you see the truth and you think that you're empowered to go out and live a sinful and ungodly life, then you have misread the Word of God. It's just that simple. We have the responsibility to have such a relationship with the next generation. Like I said, Timothy and Titus were neither one Paul's biological child, but yet he identifies both of them as a true son in the faith. Okay, so biologically speaking, we are related if we have a common DNA source or, that you contributed to the DNA makeup of my physical being. That creates a physical relationship. That could be a father and a son, a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son, and a mother or a daughter. There can be that contribution. But what Paul is describing is a generational impact not linked to DNA, but linked to the faith that God has given to each one of us. God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. And so if you are a modern day believer, you need to be very thankful that God interrupted Paul on the road to Damascus as he was getting ready to persecute the church because of his repentance, because of his salvation, because of his passion for God. He ended up impacting Timothy. He impacted Titus, and he's still impacting people who took the gospel to the ends of the earth, and that good news made its way to us, and we're still benefiting from the fact that Paul said, I don't just want to be a speaker. I want to be your spiritual father. He said, Timothy, I want you to be a true son, a genuine, legitimate son in the faith. And so that's where we could really benefit. You know, we've got a society right now that has young people reeling because there is so much misinformation that is out there. Don't you wish that there was a button that God would push? You know, I if you're on social media, I'm on social media to see anniversaries and birthdays and live stream our church services. That's why I'm there. And yet, whenever I log in, there's hardly a day goes by that there's not some sort of warning flag that's posted up there, and it's trying to warn me about what they perceive as misinformation. I said that exactly the way that I wanted it to be said, what they perceive to be misinformation, you know. And the reality is human beings can be wrong. I can take you through history and show you where that which was culturally accepted was absolutely wrong. They were insisting that it was true, but it was absolutely false. And we can see some of that takes place in our modern society. God, on the other hand, doesn't just know the truth. He is the truth. He speaks the truth. He recognizes deception. He undermines the foundation of deception so that only the truth remains. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, you are my true son in the faith. What do you want for a true son in the faith? Well, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I want you to have grace, I want you to have mercy, and I want you to have peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, we not only talked about Paul and Timothy, but we talked about Titus, and that's where the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. That's where we get this. This is what he writes to Thomas, or to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Our common faith. And what he means by common there means you and I have this same attribute going on. There's not one that's elevated and the other is devalued. It is something that we have in common. If you're going to be equally yoked, you need to be equally yoked in faith. And like we said, it's going to manifest itself with a godliness, with a lifestyle that is going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. One statistic that has always bothered me is the reality that there are many, many, many people who will never impact another generation with the greatest news that they've ever received in their life, that Jesus forgave them of their sins and wants to be the Lord of their life. Now, I will tell you this, you can have a son in the faith or a child in the faith, and that person actually be biologically older than you. I'll say that again. You can have a child in the faith, and that person can be biologically older than you. That happens, and I'll just use this as a personal example, since I've been talking about my pastor, who's passed away now. But he actually led his father into a salvation experience with Jesus when his father was in his 90s. That probably would have put my pastor in his 60s. And so the biological son was actually the spiritual father to his dad. Not trying to make that weird or anything. What I'm trying to tell you is don't limit your spiritual influence to just your generation or just your family members, but make sure that you reach as many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ as you possibly can. Okay? Faith, a faith style, a lifestyle of faith is not something that is laborious. It should not, a lifestyle of faith does not come at the expense of relationship. It comes as a result of relationship. Where one generation, like we talked about yesterday with Hezekiah, walked in the truth, demonstrated that truth to his children, or that's what he said he wanted to do. Paul actually did that. Another person that did that was John in 3 John, and he says here, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." How many of you as parents don't want that for your kids? I know I do. "Just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So John here writes, and he calls the people that he's written to his children who walk in truth. So there was a relationship. John actually influenced a guy by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp is a church history person who, as John was more advanced in age, Polycarp came along, and he became one of the early church fathers. As far as church history figures that are not written about in the Bible, Polycarp is one of my favorites. And so his name is spelled P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P. You can look up some of the wonderful things that took place in his life. But here again, there was that pastoral relationship. I wonder at times if we have not got to the place where many people do not have that spiritual father relationship that we see demonstrated here with Paul with Timothy, Paul with Titus, and John with his children in the faith. That you know that you've succeeded when they are walking in the truth. So I had a conversation with someone here a few weeks ago, and they were talking about a person that they know who had gone to Bible college. And here was the sad thing. Almost none of the people who they had gone to Bible college with were living for Jesus anymore. Okay. Now, you might think, well, that could be true of you because you went to Bible college when dirt was new. I'm talking about people who just a few years ago were in college, who were in ministry, and now they've not even hit 30 years old, and they've abandoned the faith. What? We can't afford to sacrifice the next generation. We need people who will walk in the truth in such a manner that people will say, you know what? They're walking in the truth. I don't care where they go, what they say, I can tell you that they are living the truth, that they are speaking the truth. John writes and he says, just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There is a thrill that is available to the saints of God. And maybe I'll get a few thank you letters from pastors, but I will tell you this. If you are an experienced saint of God, if you are a seasoned saint, if suddenly you find yourself with more time on your hands than you know what to do with, and you want to make a difference, you want to put your house in order and you want to make a difference in a generation, I want to encourage you, talk to your pastor. See if there's a children's Sunday school class. See if they need some help in the youth ministry. You may not be the coolest person around. I don't care about that. But I tell you what, if you're a person who walks in the truth, who loves the truth, and wants to impact a generation with the truth so that they walk in truth, you will never experience a greater joy in your life. I remember we were doing an evangelistic event. This goes back, I could tell you exactly when, but I'm not going to. And we saw a lot of people pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life, to forgive them of their sins. And that was fantastic. But I'll tell you what my greatest thrill was about that week. It was when I watched the people who attend Merit Assembly of God. I saw people that prayed sinner's prayer. I rejoiced with them. But when I saw the people of the church leading people to Jesus, I was filled with great joy. There was one thing that happened that took that joy up a greater degree, and that was when I saw my own child lead somebody else to the foot of the cross, where he introduced them to the lover of their souls, and my son led somebody to Jesus. What a thrill when our children walk in truth. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll be back Monday right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.